And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday. Welcome to the House of Wellness. We're going to help you get well, stay well, live well, and look fabulous. I'm Larry Emder with Kelly Landry and Gerald Quigley. Good morning, Kel.
Oh, good morning, Larry.
Hello there, Gerald.
Hello, Larry. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Gerald.
Everyone awake? Everyone nice and awake? We're talking sleep today, Gerald. It's important, apparently, as it turns out.
I think that that's probably one of the understatements of the century, Larry. Yes, look, we underestimate it. Everyone craves good sleep. It'll be fascinating to talk to Dr. Chris Winter, who's an absolute expert, particularly in his dealing with sports, sports athletes, especially elite athletes. So it'll be fascinating to talk to him.
They call him the sleep whisperer. Just hearing him whisper might just put us all to sleep. But very interesting, Dr. Chris Winter, the guru of sleep, coming up for you. Looking forward to that chap. And Kel, you have been announced as the ambassador for Women and Heart Disease Awareness Month in June. The statistics around this, Kel, are horrifying.
Yes, I'm very honoured to be part of join the team at the Heart Foundation. One Australian dies every hour of heart disease. Can you believe
every
that?
Every hour.
Every hour. One Australian woman. So that's 24 per day, and it's just I can't even speak this morning. My goodness, I need to talk to Dr. Chris Winter about getting a little bit more sleep so that I can string a sentence together.
All right. We're going to talk more about that. It is such an important campaign. We'll talk a little bit more about it shortly. That's Women and Heart Disease Awareness Month. It's coming up in June, but of course the campaign is well and truly underway, and it's really important that we do understand those horrifying statistics. Also today, cooler weather coming around. We can all feel that right now, and it means joint pain. So what can we do to look after our hard-working joints like hips and knees, Gerald? We're going to talk about that shortly.
We will, Larry. A couple of my favourite things that I think all of us that are just on the other side of 40 need to consider to keep our joints going.
Oh, I love it that you were looking at me then, weren't you?
I was.
You said just on the other side of 40 as opposed to very close to 60.
Absolute courtesy, that was.
All right, that's coming up for us. But as we said at the top, we'll be talking very shortly to Dr. Chris Winter from the US about how we can improve our sleep. He is definitely the guru of sleep. He's been dubbed the sleep whisperer. He's just released an informative new book. It's called The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Really important. We're also going to be joined by Georgia Love this morning. Now, Georgia was recently named ambassador for Palmer's Skincare, makers of the scrumptious-smelling cocoa butter body cream, with a huge cult following. We'll be talking to her shortly. And, of course, all of your calls today, Gerald's standing by to take those on 131873. That's 131873. All our callers go into the draw for that $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. Give us a call, 131873.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning on the House of Wellness. Gerald standing by to take all of your calls this morning. As always, 131873, that's 131873. Anne, welcome to the show.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning, Anne.
Gerald, in the evenings or at night, I get very edgy when I'm thinking about it's time to go to bed, and I don't go to bed because I'm just edgy. I don't want to go to sleep. I wondered, is there anything you can take? Nothing scary, thing.
No, we're not in the scary business, Anne.
Oh, thank you.
So this is around dinner time you start to worry about the act of going to sleep, or later on?
No, I'm talking 11, 12. Oh, okay. You know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I think I should be in bed because I've got to get up and do things.
Yes.
But I can't face the thought of going to bed
sleep,
because I won't go to sleep, or I think I won't.
Sure. And have you got children?
No.
Okay. Those of us that have been lucky enough to have kids all establish routines. And what you've got to do is re-establish what's called sleep hygiene. So you probably eat around the same time, and then you've got a few things you do. Set a time, say 10:30 or 11, that you're going to head off to bed. you turn off the television, the iPad and all of those things because the blue light stimulates your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Make yourself a cup of tea, a little snack if you like. In our house, my wife and I have some dry bickies with some cheese. I read somewhere that cheese is good for you, so we have a little bit of cheese. And then read. Just read for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. And if you do that consistently, your brain will get into a routine, and that fear of not trying to nod off to sleep, it will actually leave you. There are some herbal options. The classic is probably chamomile, so a cup of chamomile tea before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
There are herbal options that you can take that are non-habit forming that tend to relax you. The herb of choice we're doing a lot of work on at the moment is kava, and that's good for the active brain. And women seem to have more active brains when they go to bed than men do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say to my wife, there's no point in me worrying about things if you're doing all the worrying for me. So, so you just go straight ahead. But I can't overemphasize and the importance of that sleep routine, which you should never interrupt. Ours is set in concrete. Even if we're out, we still tend to have a cup of tea and a little bicky of cheese when we come back. And it just tricks your brain into thinking we're ready.
Comfortable bed.
Yes, what comfortable bed, good pillows, all of those things.
Kava?
Yes, kava. If your brain's running at a million miles an hour, kava is a wonderful herb, available in lots of different forms with other supporting herbs as well, perfectly safe.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling,
Anne.
Thanks,
Anne.
Okay.
Now, Gerald, is that the kava, the same kava that you would have in Fiji? Is it?
It's a slightly different quality, Larry, in that it's not masticated and popped into a bowl and
into
then the
sock.
Invitation offered into a sock and the invitation offered to partake. But in a traditional Fijian culture, from what I can understand, is that kava is used in a ceremony to promote socialization, to get conversation going.
Well, what it does historically too with kava is that all the big chiefs would sit around, all the warring chiefs would sit around it, and it would calm everybody down and give everybody a clear vision of what they had to do. So I suppose that's it's not dissimilar to our discussion right now.
No, and in herbal practice, we tend to use it just to stop that overactivity of a mind, which probably happens more in women who have slept for years with one ear open. And I can imagine Kelly nodding, thinking, yes, one ear open, one eye open, wondering for that call, Mom.
Yeah.
And that's important to train your children to always call Mom and not Dad.
as long as we don't have to drink the kava out of a dirty sock in Fiji.
This is standardised.
We can talk about sleep all we want, or we can just talk to one of the big sleep experts in the world. We're going to find out now how we can improve our sleep. Dr. Chris Winter is a neurologist and sleep expert who's been dubbed the Sleep Whisperer. Now, he's just released that informative new book. It's called The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. And we're thrilled to have Dr. Chris Winter on the phone. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us on the House of Wellness. Why, this is the big question, why is sleep so important?
I think sleep is important because it plays a role in nearly everything our bodies do, from heart disease to our brain functioning to our ability to regulate our weight and our blood sugar, even down to our ability to concentrate on a radio interview in the morning. Important for all of those things.
Yes, I must say my three-year-old woke up four times last night, so that might have slight broken sleep. But what are some of the steps that we can take to solving broken sleep and some of the problems that are around sleep?
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that we struggle with is language we use to describe sleep. We often talk about not sleeping. Wow, I had a bad night. I didn't sleep at all last night. Or I just read an article that said something about 51% of Americans. The title of the article was Why 51% of Americans Can't Sleep. And I think it's really important. And one of the things I stress in the book is that we all sleep. It's physiologically impossible not to sleep, or it takes a very strong cattle prod, one or the other. So I think that when people understand that they're not in danger of not sleeping, it really takes a lot of pressure off. The second thing I really stress in the book is there's a lot of research out there about the benefits of effective resting, meaning that you're not asleep, but you're lying in the dark with your eyes closed with a relaxed mind. That's very restorative to the body. So looking at your watch or your clock every 5 minutes to see if you've fallen asleep yet, fretting or not whether or not you need to take a sleeping pill, I think those things really are counterproductive to the way we feel the next day.
Chris, it's Gerald here, and I'm a pharmacist, and I, congratulations on your book. I'm just about to start reading it. But is it, what role does stress play? It's such a common phrase that you hear from people. Would you say that's a major contributor, particularly in sport, which is what your book goes into? But is sport an example, or work, all of these things that contribute towards a stressful situation as you're trying to get to sleep?
Absolutely. I mean, I think stress and insomnia go hand in hand. I don't meet a lot of people in my clinic wearing flip-flops, listening to the Grateful Dead and not really caring about things. I mean, you have to, you know, when we define insomnia, it's a two-part definition. It's not the inability to sleep. What it is the inability to sleep when you want to sleep, when you've decided you want to go to bed.
Yes.
And then there's a second part is that you have to care.
Yes.
So if it's taking you 30 minutes to fall asleep and you don't really feel stressed about that, then that's not really insomnia, and you're probably not going to seek help. When you start adding stress in the mix, particularly stress about performance, and you're right, athletes stress very strongly about the way they perform, which is why I find them so interesting to study, that when you start combining the stress about sleep or performance and your ability to sleep, that's when insomnia really sinks its teeth into. So you're absolutely right. If you can separate out the idea that, look, I'm not falling asleep particularly quickly tonight, but I've slept well the last week, it's not going to dramatically affect my performance, so I'm just going to relax and enjoy being in bed with my eyes closed, thinking about my celebrity crush, thinking about what I want to do this weekend, whatever you want to think about, but not stressing about trying to sleep, you're actually going to do quite well the next day. You know, it's really interesting, as a pharmacist, there's never really been any study that's shown a sleep aid to provide any performance benefit on a chronic basis. Yet that's the number one reason why people take them. They say, well, I really don't like to take sleeping pills, but I had a big meeting the next day, so I really needed to get some good sleep.
Sure.
So that's implying that, number one, the pill is going to get, which has never been proven to do so, and number two, that you won't be able to perform well at the meeting without the sleeping pill. So these are the things I really try to deconstruct in the book.
Great.
In a fun way.
How much sleep does the average person need? Because we all know those stories about Einstein saying, you know, 4 hours a night was fine and all that sort of stuff. And some of the greatest minds in the world saying they sleep 3, 4, 5 hours. And then the study saying you need 8 hours sleep. Is there an average?
There is an average. And I'm glad you said that. So the average is probably somewhere between 7.5 to 8. Somewhere in that. So if you're listening to this and you think, my God, I only sleep 6.5 and I feel great, keep sleeping 6.5. For the individuals out there who are getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep at night, Tom Ross, who's a researcher, extraordinaire in sleep, did a lot of research looking at, you know, what's the smallest amount of sleep that some people can function well on. And he really never found people who did well below 6 hours, much below six. So if somebody's saying to you, they're sleeping 4. Number one, they're either misperceiving their sleep and think that they're sleeping 4, but they're really sleeping more. Or they're people who do well with 4, but they're not functioning optimally. Meaning, I didn't consider myself a very good medical student, but I was really good at getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep. So did I feel optimal? No, I was an ass to a lot of people.
Right.
I ate foods I really shouldn't have been eating. It was terrible, but I could do it. I could survive it. So there's a difference between surviving and thriving. And if you feel like you're getting 4 hours of sleep and thriving, you're wrong.
So do you have some tips for us? What are some ways we can get a better night's sleep besides not having a three-year-old?
Right, no, 3-year-old, exactly. You know, the funny thing is I always tell people, if I fail you, either join the army or have 3 children. Either way, it'll probably make you sleep a whole lot better. I think it's important for us to understand that scheduling for our brain is very important. So if you have the opportunity to have a consistent wake up time, that's really important. You know, so your brain understands that every day, this is the day you will wake up, have some tea and a bagel, and move forward with your day, you know, seeing light, moving your body. If people have inconsistent wake-up times, or the worst is when somebody says, well, if I sleep well, I get up at this time at 7 o'clock and start my day. If I don't sleep well, I'll usually sleep in, skip the gym, and not get out of bed until 9. that's very difficult for your brain. What you really want to do, and if you have kids, I would suggest with your three-year-old, really be established with your wake-up time. Not only the time when you wake up in the morning, but for a child, when their nap's in. So if the nap is from 11 to 12, and your child goes, you know, you put him down at 11, but he doesn't fall asleep until like 11:45, and then he falls asleep, you should wake him up at 12. It's not an hour whenever you decide when you want to go to bed. You want to try to let that child know, I'm going to give you the time you need to sleep, but you need to take advantage of it. And if you don't, we're going to start our day anyway. Our brain learns very well with routine. So focus a lot more on your wake-up time. And then a bedtime, if your bedtime, say, is 11 o'clock, that should be the earliest you're allowed to go to bed, not when you go to sleep. So meaning if you feel sleepy at 10 o'clock, you need to stay up till 11. If 11 o'clock rolls around and you're ready to go to sleep, go to sleep. If you're not ready to go to sleep at 11 o'clock, stay up. Don't worry about it. People get far too hung up when 11 o'clock happens and they're not ready to sleep. It's kind of like going to lunch. What happens when you don't want to eat your chicken sandwich? My guess is you don't take a pill to make yourself eat the chicken sandwich. You just wrap it up and eat it later because you have faith that hunger's going to come along sooner or later, and we need this to be the same way with our sleep.
That's such good information, although I'm going to feel an enormous amount of performance anxiety tonight when I'm trying to go to sleep, remembering everything that you've just said and making sure I had to do it on time. Dr. Chris Winter, lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much. The new book is called The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Thanks for joining us this morning on the House of Wellness.
Thank you all so much. Have a great night, or a great day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Larry Emder, Kelly Landry and Gerald Quigley, of course, with you on the House of Wellness this morning. Gerald, the weather's cooling down. That means it's going to have some effect on our bodies.
It does, Larry. It just means that it's a little harder to get moving. And in all of this, movement is really important. So about half an hour's walk every day is so good. Even research I read yesterday, it's been shown it's good for your brain. I have a trio of things that are so important for joint support. The first is glucosamine. The research behind glucosamine is irrefutable. It's an anti-inflammatory. It helps the joint space. Whether or not it's combined with chondroitin is an individual decision, but about 1,500 milligram a day. The second is omega-3 oils. Marine-based oils, so important, either fish oil or krill oil. I tend to like krill oil because it's a bit more bang for your buck. It's a smaller capsule and you don't need so many. Mm-hmm. 1,000 milligram twice a day. And the last, if you've got pain, the herb of choice, turmeric. It either will come combined in an oily vehicle, in an aqueous extract, or combined with black pepper. It's got to have something to help it be absorbed. It, again, is gentle, it's effective, and there's a number of brands around, so you ask your pharmacist which is the one that he or she gets best feedback from, and stay with it right through winter.
And as you say, you've got to keep moving.
Yes.
And here's the catch, that so many of us just get rugged up and spend more time in front of the telly, right?
Yes.
During winter, that's the time we should keep moving.
It is, and it's not a lot of movement. You don't have to get out and pound the pavement.
Yeah.
It's just, even if you walk, as I said, for half an hour, most days of the week, the benefits are huge.
Okay. 131-873. Pat, good morning. Welcome to the House of Wellness.
Good morning, Pat.
Hello, Gerald.
How can we help?
I hope you can help me.
Mm-hmm.
I had polio when I was a child,
mm-hmm.
and I'm now 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this trouble with my arms and legs. I think it might be the nerve endings. I can't sleep at night. I'm very badly off. I'm taking, 50 milligrams of Lyrica.
Yes.
Which doesn't help me. I've been on that for about 2 years.
Okay.
I tried 75 milligrams, but it put me to sleep.
Yes.
I've been on Indep.
Yes.
Which puts me to sleep all day.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't help the pain or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple of doses of Panadeine Forte.
Yes.
I took your curcumin for
mm-hmm.
about the whole jar. Didn't
mm-hmm.
do me any good at all.
Mm-hmm.
Without me hanging myself. Can you please?
We don't want you to do that,
help
Pat.
Me.
Look, of all those, you've mentioned nerve pain, and that's the word that we're chasing here. There's a substance called lipoic acid, which is quite specific for nerve pain, Pat, and it's going to help the Lyrica. I find in people that come and see me, the combination seems to work well. So lipoic acid from your pharmacist, it's a 400 milligram that's taken twice a day. It doesn't interfere with anything. It doesn't have any adverse effects, but it will settle those excitable nerve endings down that are keeping you awake. So go for it, and I certainly don't mind if in a few weeks you ring and give me an update.
And you think that would just be enough with the Lyrica?
Yes, I do. That's where we'll start.
Oh, I'll go and get it straight away.
Okay, good on you, Pat.
Thank you for your help.
Pleasure.
And give us a call back, Pat, and let us know how that goes. June, welcome to the House of Wellness.
Good morning, Gerald. Have you any suggestions for spurs in my feet, please?
Yes, the magic phrase, June, is plantar fasciitis, which is often the result of spurs. There are two minerals. One is called silica. One is called calcium fluoride. And you can get those in combination from your pharmacist.
Silica and what was the other one?
Calcium fluoride. And that seems to settle the structure of the spur. However, you need a little more. It's worth seeing a podiatrist because you'll be surprised how an orthotic in your shoe will make a difference.
Right.
And the other thing is there is a specific exercise which just means you go, you stand flat, lift yourself for counting to three and hold it for about 5 or 6 seconds and then slowly lower yourself. So we're going up on your toes and then lowering yourself, and that helps the structure of that plantar fascia joint. And it's actually got clinical evidence behind it to show that that will make a difference. And you do a little bundle of 12 of those across the day when you get a chance.
All right.
Does it all make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, and thank you very much for your help.
Pleasure, June.
Thanks, Gerald.
Thank you, June. Thanks for calling into the House of Wellness. We're going to take a quick break, and then Kelly's going to talk us through some of those horrible statistics surrounding women and heart disease next up.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Women and Heart Disease Awareness Month is coming around in June, and it can't come fast enough. The statistics around this are absolutely horrifying, and it is so important that we have the discussion and the information gets out there. Kel, our very own Kelly Landry, named ambassador for this Making the Invisible Visible. Kel, such an important message.
It is. Heart disease is the number one killer of Australian women. Every hour, every day, an Australian woman dies of heart disease. That's 24 women every day. Women are three times more likely to die of heart disease than breast cancer. But again, like you say, awareness is actually really, really low. So June is all about heart awareness and making the invisible visible. There's so many disparities when it comes to men and women in heart. So even though each year almost twice as many men are admitted to hospital than women with a heart attack, the annual deaths of men and women are actually around the same.
Right.
So I think it's largely a little bit to do with the fact that women are a little bit more complacent about their hearts.
Yeah.
And, you know, typically we have been educated that men are more likely to have heart attacks than women and suffer from heart disease.
And
so, you know, it's all about re-educating people, but also creating awareness. Like even the research and drugs that are available on the market for women are actually most of the time designed for and tested on men.
Yes.
And just adapted over to women.
Gerald, how do you see those numbers stacking up that way, given that they seem to be running in line? We don't hear that much about women and heart disease.
Well, and it's probably because in research, especially Larry and Kel, that we're all lumped in together. But there's no doubt that there are clear differentiations between women's cardiovascular health and men's. Women have children, their hormone setup is different, they probably don't sleep anywhere near as well as men do for various reasons, and there's this carer label which is attached to women. And I remember reading a story once of, you know, the classic woman who has central chest pain at dinner time will usually tidy up, make sure everybody's happy, then go upstairs and have a snooze thinking it's going to be better in the morning. And probably, as Kelly will testify now, never ever ignore symptoms. If you've got pain in your arms, in your jaw,
shoulders,
just random
neck.
Things, shoulders, go and have it checked out. Don't think, oh, look, it's just a change of the weather and I feel a bit chilled. It could be serious. And I think sometimes we're our own worst enemies, where we think it'll get better. It may not.
The participation of women in the research, they say, is sort of complicated, Kel, by issues like, you know, age, pregnancy and childbearing, where women are busy doing that and going through all sorts of health and body changes in other areas, they're not fronting, they're not saying, oh, I've got a sore chest because I've got a sore chest, or a sore neck, I've got a sore neck because I'm carrying the baby, you know, like it hides itself.
Yeah, it can disguise itself. But also, again, it comes back to education as well, because, you know, women aren't typically educated to align those kind of symptoms with a potentially fatal heart attack.
Sure.
You know, I think if we get the message out there that this could be a symptom of, you know, something more sinister than just carrying your baby around and having a sore back.
So Kelly,
and it can happen to anyone at any age as well, because I myself was diagnosed with a cardiomyopathy at age 33. And, you know, that's not typically an age where you would imagine someone having a doctor sitting across the table from you saying, yes, the greatest risk of your heart disease is such and such. And, it's not sort of something you would expect. So it can affect anybody. You can be healthy, you can be thin, you can be fit, you can be, you know, young. It can affect anyone at any time, and that's why the messaging is just, you know, get out there and get checked. If you feel like there's something that is not right, insist, go and get a second opinion, get a third opinion, and get it checked out, because, you know, it is a vital organ. You don't get a second chance. It's not like having kidney failure or liver failure, where you can, you know, you've got time up your sleeve. You know, once your heart stops beating, that's it.
Every hour of every day, an Australian woman dies of heart disease. 24 Australian women are lost to this disease each and every day. Heartfoundation.org.au. That's heartfoundation.org.au.
And if you do want to get involved in June during the Make the Invisible Visible campaign, we're actually having a luncheon on the 12th of May. And I think that we can probably pop some details up on the website if you would like to attend.
Ladies only, Kel?
No, men are welcome. Yes,
okay.
Welcome.
Just making sure.
Very welcome. Yes. So, you know, take action in June. Have a heart health check. Yep. Learn about the warning signs and the symptoms. Support our Making the Invisible Visible campaign by drawing a heart somewhere on your body, on your hand, taking a video or a photo and sharing it on social media with the hashtag Women's Hearts, and encourage friends and family to do the same. And you can also donate specifically to this campaign at invisiblevisible.org.
Heartfoundation.org.au, also for all of those very important information and the events and how you can help. All the information will be there. Thanks, Kel. Back right after this on the House of Wellness.
This is the House of Wellness for Remy Femin Plus. Formulated relief from strong menopause symptoms, and revitalize your gums with Oral-B Gum Care Toothpaste.
We're all still talking about Dr. Chris Winter, the sleep whisperer on the show this morning. That was good, huh?
Well, it's such an essential part of everybody's life, really, isn't it? And when you do have those moments in your life where you struggle to sleep, you know, it's kind of, you have a couple of nights of restless sleep, and then you do start getting that anxiety. Oh, I really need to sleep. I can totally understand what he's saying.
Yeah, and Gerald, that was my point at the end of the discussion. I suppose that now that we've got all this information, we know exactly what to do. Now there's even more pressure on how to go to sleep. So
stress. A couple of great take-home messages. Mind you, I think the concept of waiting for 45 minutes over an hour that you've put aside to have your toddler have a snooze and waking them up to 15 minutes.
Yes.
I think that's fraught with problems, because most mums would say, thank God, you know, he's nodded off or she's nodded off.
Yeah, right.
But I agree. But the important thing he did reassure us was that you can lie in your bed with your eyes closed, just concentrating on your breathing, which is almost a semi-meditation type move. And it does calm you down. We all expect, because we're so programmed in a 24-hour society, when you're up, you're up. When you're in bed, you've got to be asleep. Well, that's rubbish. It's rest. Mm. And eventually, as he said, your body will find its adequate amount of sleep. But I think sometimes we do put so much pressure on ourselves to instantly fall asleep in spite of watching a widescreen TV with exciting television, or an iPad or your phone, and the blue light's telling your brain, hello, it's still daytime.
Because, Kel, I suppose if you've got to get up at 6 o'clock, the sleep guru has told you need 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And if you're in bed at 11 o'clock, you go, okay, there goes my, I'm down to 7 hours. Yeah. I'm down to 6.5 hours.
That's right.
Here comes the stress.
That's right.
But it's meditation. You meditate, Kel. No, you do yoga?
I do yoga, yes, and I definitely try and practice. I actually, do you know what? My sleep routine is with my children is so successful that it actually puts me to sleep quite often at the same time as them. So for me to actually be up at 11 o'clock at night, that is a raging late night for me, an absolute rager, because I'm normally in bed and asleep by 8:30, well and truly.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So I normally get my 6 hours sleep before 2 a.m. So if I wake up at 2 a.m. and I'm awake for an hour or so and I read, then I'm like, oh, it's all right, I've already had my 6.5 hours.
Gerald, what do we think about power naps? What do we think about grabbing that 20 minutes in the afternoon, if you can? I mean, if you can.
Well, I think millions of Europeans can't be wrong. They enjoy that across the day. Try ordering a cup of coffee in France somewhere at 1:30 in the afternoon. They just stare at you. So, look, power naps I think are fine, Larry, as long as they're timed. I try and sneak one every now and again. I set my phone, I set an alarm, and I go for 20 minutes. And I find if you can just, again, it goes back, that simple thing, resting either on a layback chair or a couch or on the floor with a pillow. As long as you just focus on your breathing and gently slow everything down, you will drift in and out of semi-relaxed sleep. And that's great.
And we didn't get to it with the good doctor, of course, but one of the big things at the moment, and we've spoken about this before on the show, is getting rid of those phones and those tablets and things that do keep us highly distracted.
Sure.
At just at that moment when you're trying to fall asleep.
Yeah, we've even got a word for it, a digital detox.
Yeah, right.
That's how programmed we are.
Yeah. Reading is definitely such a... There's a lot to be said about reading, I find. Yes. If I'm ever tossing during the night, I've always got a book on the go, and if I just, you know, get it, sometimes I only get 2 pages down and I'm back straight out. It's like a lullaby.
I've learned to go with a paperback, because if you do not often, a heavy book slams in your face while you're reading. If that wakes you up really quite promptly.
I used to show my kids old videos of Celebrity Dog School. That would put them to sleep straight away.
Oh, I think that would anaesthetise most of us.
Time for a couple of calls now. Sonia, welcome to the House of Wellness.
Hi.
Hello, Sonia.
Hi, I don't know where to start. I have 4 children, but they're not little.
No.
So I have managed to break through those toddler years. But as small problems become bigger problems as the years go by, I tend to get involved in all their situations.
Sure. Well, that's because you're a mum.
That's right. So I've always had trouble sleeping from when they've been at school, and then worrying how their grades are going, then worrying, okay, they're getting older, they're going to go through these teen years, and now, you know, they've got to get jobs. So I worry for each one of them, and they're all the same sex, all boys, so it's not easy. But I have found that, and they think I'm invincible.
Of course. Well, as I said, you're the mum.
Yeah.
Every mother is invincible.
Yeah. So I've started doing, like, taking herbal teas.
Good.
Which I think has really helped me, the chamomile and the green tea and things like that. Uh-huh. But I get agitated still a little bit, but I'm trying to work all that through. And my kids now realise that mum's just getting a little bit older and she's not going to be here forever.
Yes.
But what I cannot stand, and I have this question, why is it my husband, who sleeps next to me, snores and everything. But
Now, that's a man's rights.
Yeah, but he says, I'm not tired. He hits the pillow and bang, 2 minutes, he's sleeping. Why?
Oh, it's because I think we are the stronger sex. We need relaxed sleep. We got to go hunting for food tomorrow. And why, as I say to Philippa, my wife, why should I lay awake worrying about things when you do all for me? Look, a couple of suggestions, Sonia. I think you need to impress upon the kids, and I've got all girls, and girls and boys are completely different. But impress upon the kids that you need a bit of Sonia time. When you're heading up in your room and your door's closed, you need to be left alone. Insist on getting some space. Go for a walk by yourself, and just listen to the birds and enjoy the outside air if you possibly can, because you can become so devoted. It's totally consuming. Every now and again you hear us talking about magnesium. It's a great way of just taking tension out of your shoulders and your back, and particularly if you just, Larry and I and Kelly have discussed, get into bed, lie there, concentrate on your breathing, have some magnesium in powder form. It does seem to work better than the pills, and it will all just slowly leave you and you will nod off, but you're always going to be Sonia the super mum.
I'm happy to be known as that. I'm there for them. I mean, even though it takes its toll on me, but I suppose that's what you're a mum for, isn't it?
Yes, and every now and again, tap that bloke on the shoulder and say, you are one lucky boy.
Yes. Thanks, Sonia. Thank you very much for calling it. All right. Our Chemist Warehouse $100 gift voucher. Gerald, where's that headed today?
The winner today, Larry, is Pat, who rang us before. We talked about nerve pain, which is one of the biggest challenges we confront these days. Mm. Pat, you are the lucky winner of the $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. Congratulations.
All right, and we'll hear back from Pat in a couple of weeks, Gerald, too.
Yes.
Because that affects a lot of people, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just, and it's, yeah, we don't really know. In Pat's case, it could go back to her time with polio, but if you take cholesterol-lowering medications, if you take pain-relieving medications, if you've had surgery, you might have been involved in some sort of accident somewhere, nerve pain just seems to be something that's all-consuming.
All right, and just a quick reminder, Kel was talking about before, heartfoundation.org.au for all the information. Thank you, Kel. Thank you, Gerald.
Pleasure, Larry. Thank
it's
you, Kelly.
It's been a terrific House of Wellness today. Thank you. Plenty of information. Hope you got lots out of that. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.